Well, thank you all for being here today. Look at you. So many of you here. You all showed up. That's great. Congratulations. Give yourself a round of applause. Really? That's fantastic. Do you realize how weird this is? I mean, there's so many of you here. You could have been anywhere else this morning. You could have been sleeping in. You could have been away. You could have been out having brunch. But you made a choice to show up this morning, and I really appreciate that. I really appreciate your presence with us here today. You know, very early on in our history together as a church, really within our first couple months, I made a decision that I was going to choose to be grateful and appreciative for all the people that showed up, regardless of how many or how few. I was going to be appreciative for the people that showed up in worship, that showed up in Bible studies, that showed up in small group, because let's face it, showing up at a church thing in this day and age is so countercultural. It's so strange. I mean, nobody's really encouraging you to do this kind of thing. And so to think of people would be willing to show up at all and spend a part of their week together with us as a church, that's a wonderful, wonderful gift. So I made a choice early on to appreciate the people who showed up, as opposed to being disappointed over the people that did not show up, right? Our first couple months of the church, I would, you know, find myself in conversations with somebody and let them know, hey, we just started a church and we're meeting over at this hotel. It's the Wyndham Garden in Essington. You know, we meet Sundays at 10:30. And before I could even invite people, so often people would say to me, oh, well, that sounds cool. You know, I'll show up. You know, I'll stop by on Sunday. I'll come by and check it out. I was like, wow, this is easy, right? I don't even have to invite people. They're just offering to show up. This is fantastic. And then 1 week after the next, I'd stand up to speak. I'm like, where are all these people? They told me they were going to be here. Where are all these people? See, back in those days, I was new to this whole church planning thing, and I was a little bit naive about how this works, and I realized that people are just being polite half the time with this. Yeah, I'll be there some Sunday. Yeah, sure you will, right? Yeah? And so I was like, I can't do this to myself. I can't be disappointed over the people who aren't here. I should be thankful for the people who are here, because again, it is so countercultural. Who's encouraging you to do this? There's so many other things you could be doing, so many other opportunities. It's wonderful that anyone would make a choice to be here. And so throughout our history as a church, you know, we tried to emphasize that it is worth doing, that showing up is worth doing, and that showing up is essential, especially in a community church. I mean, that's what we are. It's in our name, Hope Community Church. And to be a community church, to be in community with one another, you need to be present with one another. If you're going to be in community, you have to be present with one another. And so we talked about that for years and years as a church, being a community. We have to be together. That's a key word, together. We're doing life together. We're being a community together. We have to be present. And we talked about that for years, for about 7 years, emphasizing how valuable it is and how important it is to show up and be together. And guess what, friends? After about 7 years, it was working. People started showing up on a more regular basis. And we were meeting there in the Barnstormers Theater. In fact, so many people were showing up that we outgrew that space. Wow, you're all showing up. We need a new space to move into. And God blessed us with a bigger space to move into. It's like, great. Now even more people can show up. And so we're excited about this. And just as we were about to move into our bigger space, boom, pandemic. That's when the pandemic started. I mean, the timing was perfectly awful. Just wow, right? We finally have a place where we can grow into, and we're not allowed to go anywhere, right? We weren't allowed to show up anywhere. Goodness gracious. And now here we are, 2.5 years later, moving into this post-pandemic world. And so much has changed during that pandemic time. I mean, there's so many things that exist now that didn't exist before. I mean, delivery services that come to our door, and you couldn't get Chick-fil-A delivered to your house back in the old days, could you? But now that exists, right? There's DoorDash, there's Uber Eats. So many things are coming to us that we don't really have to show up anywhere anymore. There's work from home options. Some of you have experienced that, working remotely and socializing remotely. You know, a lot of people, maybe you're the exception to this, but a lot of people are doing the majority of their socializing online, which, you know, I've talked about that before, isn't great. And now there are online worship services, online church services, so it's never, friends, it's never been easier not to show up. It's never been easier not to show up, especially to a church thing, to a worship service. They used to say, showing up is half the battle. Did you ever hear that expression? Showing up is half the battle. School, college, work, wherever, church, wherever it is. Showing up, if I can just get myself there, that's half the battle. But in this world that we live in, I think that showing up, maybe that is the battle. Maybe that is the challenge. Showing up has become the battle. For those of us who are Christians, showing up is essential. We have to be present with one another. We have to be there. We have to be together. We have to be present if we're going to build community. From the very beginning of the church movement, we see that Christianity, to live out your faith, it's not something that you can do on your own. It's not something that we're meant to do in isolation, but to live out what it means to be a church. A church is a we. We have to be together. We have to be present to be the church together. Authentic Christianity is lived out in the context of community. I'm going to say that again for the sake of our note takers. Authentic Christianity is lived out in the context of community. The reason we're called Hope Community Church is we believe community is essential. Now, back in the day when the pandemic hit and everybody was locked down and all this, some churches adapted pretty easily to the pandemic. Some churches adapted pretty easily to that whole lockdown thing, right? You know, for those churches who really put an emphasis on their preaching and on their teaching, all you have to do is take that teaching and put it on the internet. Boom, you're done. Fantastic. Other churches, they put their emphasis on like a music type thing. They struggled a little bit because you need to find the right equipment and get the sound just right. And then, boom, put it out there on the internet. But what about churches like ours? What about a church that emphasizes community? So you can't be Hope Community Church online. It doesn't work. We're a community church. And so churches like ours, we really struggled to adapt to that whole remote, that whole virtual thing. You know, I was asked early on, back in the days of the lockdown, you know, what do you think is going to happen, Pastor? What do you think when we get through all this? Are people going to come back to church? Are people going to start showing up again? I mean, now we're getting used to this whole thing where we're away from our church community and we're doing stuff online and people are even going to Bible studies online. Are we ever going to get back to being together? And I gave the same answer every time I was asked. I hope so. I said, I hope that people will just be craving that community again after a time, months, years of not having that, of being isolated or having limited contact with other people. We're going to be craving community, and we're going to be rushing back to church and rushing back to be with one another. That was my hope back then. And is it happening? I don't know. Maybe for some of us. Maybe some of us are feeling that, oh, I've got to get back with other people, right? Even those of us who are introverts are like, I've had enough of this. I've got to get back with other people. This is not good for us to be alone. And so I still hope that we will develop this craving, this hunger for being together, for community. But unfortunately, some people have accepted a lack of community as their new normal. This is just my life now, and I work remotely, and I don't see people, and I church remotely, and I do this remotely, and I order stuff, and it's like too many people have accepted a lack of community as their new life. And let me just tell you that a lack of community is not normal. It's not healthy. It's not good for us. If you go back to the beginning of this whole church thing, the whole church movement, way back in the book of Acts. So here we are. This is where the church begins. Jesus spent some of his ministry telling his disciples that this whole movement was going to launch. So we're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and we see how this thing begins, how the church, how this movement starts. And so many people are gathered together. The Jews are gathered together in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And there's Peter, one of the disciples, and he stands up and he gives this sermon. He gives the very first sermon ever and the very first church ever, kind of the pre-church situation here. He stands up and he speaks and he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and he explains the gospel, explains that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised to the people, that he is the Savior, that he was and is God's one and only Son, and that he explained how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah. And so many people, in fact, thousands of them, put their belief in Jesus in that day, and thousands of people were baptized on that day. And then they began living out what it means to be this movement, to be the church. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2. One of these passages that we have looked at 1,000 times and will continue to look at, Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. They devoted themselves. This is right after they received the gospel and became believers and were baptized. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That's a fun word, fellowship, right? Fellowship, being together, having a common bond in Jesus, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, sharing meals together, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together. That's our key word for the day, together. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. Kathy, Corey, what did you experience on the mission trip? A group of believers having everything in common, sharing everything together. That's how it used to be in Acts chapter 2 days. Had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. And every day, they continued to meet together. Continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And so back at that time, they were still allowed to gather as a large group in the temple courts. A day was coming where that would be forbidden and they would not be allowed there. But what we see here is a very, very simple model, I don't know, a practical approach to being the church. It's being together. It's having those large group times in the temple courts and small group times in your homes. Large group times where we can all be together and all study the apostles' teachings together, all together, sharing everything in common together. And then other times where you're just gathering together in smaller groups in people's homes. It's not that complicated. But I think we have to be fair when we look at a passage like this. This was the beginning of church. This was the honeymoon phase, right? You've heard people talk about, well, the honeymoon's over. You've heard that expression, right? I mean, quite literally, in a marriage, it's like, okay, we're having a great time, and now things just got real, and the honeymoon's over, I guess, right? Or you can have that in work, too. Somebody use that. You get into work, and like, I'm so excited. I'm going to change the world in this new job, and then it gets tough, and you're like, I don't think I like this. So the honeymoon's over. Well, same thing happened with this church movement. It was awesome at first. Let's just be together. Yeah, every day it started. Every day they were together, right? But then eventually over time it got complicated. It's like, well, I got stuff to do. And I was just over there the other day. I was just there last week. I just saw all these people and they're starting to get on my nerves or whatever it was. I mean, there's so many things that started to prevent people from gathering together. You know, these people that we're reading about that back then, they're real people. And sometimes we create this fantasy, well, they didn't have much to do and they didn't have jobs. No, they had like real lives, right? These were real people. And so we move forward in the history of the church about 30 years after Acts 2 is written, about 30 years after the events, I should say, of Acts 2. And we arrive at the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews is in your New Testament. We know who it was written to, but we don't know who it was written by. It was written to the Hebrew Christians, people who were Jewish by their ancestry, who accepted Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Messiah, and so to Jewish believers, right? Jewish Christians, if you want to think of it that way. And so it was written to them, may have been written by Paul. We don't know that for sure. I don't think we can rule Paul out. But the writer of Hebrews spends a lot of time explaining how Jesus is that fulfillment of their faith, how Jesus is the fulfillment of the old covenant, making that connection and really tracing a through line from the old to the new covenant, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And in his letter, the author, he also explains this, that we need to keep meeting together. He addresses this issue that's going on in the church, and he gives them some advice. He gives them some counsel. He gives them this plea that they need to keep meeting together. Take a look at that passage that's in your bulletin. From Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, let us hold unswervingly. Isn't that a fun word? Unswervingly. Let us hold unswervingly without straying in any direction to the hope we profess, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the assurance of our salvation. For he who promised is faithful. For Jesus who promised is faithful. He will do what he told us he would do. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's consider how we can work together and encourage one another, to spur one another on, to encourage, to appropriately challenge, maybe even to rebuke and correct sometimes. But like, here's how you live this out: love and good deeds. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So already, 30 years after the events of Acts 2, already people have started to give up meeting together. Because for whatever reason, life just got complicated. It's too impractical. I can't do this all the time. I've got some other options, other things I can be doing. And listen, I've already accepted Jesus as my Savior, so I got that peace, so I'm saved, so I'm good. Boom. No. Don't give up meeting together. The New American Standard puts it, do not forsake meeting together. Do not forsake. Sometimes you just need a Bible-y word to convey a Bible-y idea. Forsake. Don't forsake it. I forsake meeting together. Don't do that. But continue. Continue to meet together, encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of judgment, the day of Christ's return, or to think of it in a different way, where this age ends and the new age begins, okay? And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying, it's not less important to meet together, it's more important. It's more important as we get closer and closer to that day to continue to meet together. It's important to show up. It's countercultural, it's not convenient, but it's important and it's worth doing. And we are commanded by Scripture to show up, to be present, to meet together with one another. Isn't this an easy message to hear, by the way? Because you're all here. It's like, oh, great. Good. I did the right thing. Good for you. Right? You showed up. Fantastic. You know, decades ago, I first heard the phrase, maybe you've heard phrases like this. I've heard the phrase, you're not saved by going to church. Did you ever hear somebody say that? Oh, you're going to church? Good for you. You're not saved by going to church. Just say no. Oh, okay. Thanks. You're not saved by going to church. And at face value, isn't that true? Yeah, okay. Those of us who are Christians, we believe we're saved by Jesus Christ. We put our faith in him instead of us, what he's done instead of what we can do. That's what we do, right? Yeah, you're not saved by going to church. But you're also not saved by not going to church. What are we talking about, right? You're not saved because you show up at a place on a reoccurring basis. That's not what saves you. However, at the same time, how many of us in this room who are saved, how many of us heard the gospel in settings like this? Showing up was essential to our receiving salvation. No, we didn't get saved because we showed up, but showing up was essential to our receiving salvation. We had over 10 people baptized just last month. Yeah, just last month. Wow. It's like, how many of those 10 people received salvation because they showed up? They weren't saved by showing up, but they heard the gospel because they showed up and heard it enough times, and eventually it clicks. I mean, is that your story? For so many of us in this room, that's our story. We showed up enough times, and then it clicked. So you're not saved by going to church, but going to church or going to a worship service can and often is instrumental in someone receiving salvation. How about this phrase? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, right? Just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. I heard that people used to say that back when I was a teenager. Like, what are you? Have you heard that before? Like, well, okay, I agree, right? Yeah, in theory, or I agree at face value. But we got to break down that idea a little bit. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Well, what are you talking about? Going to church? Are you talking about showing up at a worship service, showing up at an event, and then we need to define Christian, because a pretty big part of Christianity is showing up at places. See, what I'm trying to point out is there's two extremes that we can go to, two mistakes that we can make concerning the worship service, the Sunday morning event. There are two extremes. One thing we can do is we can overemphasize. We can make it too big. We can say, you know, that Christianity, it's all about what I do for that 1 hour on Sunday morning. My entire Christian experience is confined to that 1 hour. And when I'm there, I'm there. And when I'm there, I'm singing, and I'm listening, and I'm saying amen, and I'm smiling and nodding at the preacher because they know he likes when I do that. I'm there. But then I leave, and I'm done. That's overemphasizing Sunday morning event. Then we can go to the other extreme. It's underemphasizing, de-emphasizing the Sunday morning event. Well, it's not like I'm going to get saved by going there. I mean, I'm already saved. It's not going to make me a Christian necessarily, blah, blah, blah. Well, hang on. It's important. Here's what I have to say about the Sunday morning event. It's not everything, but it's something. It's not everything, nor should it be everything. It's not everything, but it's something. I would go so far as to say that it's an important something. Showing up on a Sunday morning, it's not everything, but it's something. Here's what I'm going to give for you today. Note takers, if you want to get ready, I'm going to give you 7 reasons why we should prioritize showing up in worship. 7 reasons why. You ready? Number one, this first one, you're going to be so shocked by this. Okay, reasons why we should prioritize showing up at worship. Number one, it is an opportunity to worship God. How about that? Worship God. That's part of what happens in a worship service, right? You Christians know who I'm talking about. You know God, like God, like the God of the Bible. You know who I'm talking about, right? God, right? Do you know who I'm talking about? You're looking for, you know, God. God that created all things, that gave you life, that gave you purpose, and every good and perfect gift that you've ever received has come down from heaven from him. The God that sent his one and only son into this world to die on the cross for your sins, that God, well, we have an opportunity to worship him. That's what, I hear those statements. Well, you know, you don't have to go to church to get saved. It's not being a Christian. But it's an opportunity to worship God. Don't you believe that he is worthy and deserves our worship? He does. Showing up at a worship service is an opportunity to sing songs to God. God, thank you for who you are. Sometimes the songs that we sing are songs of praising God. Sometimes we're singing our heartbreak or our sorrow, and we come in, and whatever the worship leader, whatever the team leads, is like sometimes it just speaks to our soul. It's an opportunity to worship the God that deserves to be worshiped. Now, hang on a second. If you've been with us for a while now, you've heard my closing prayer. You know, most Sundays I close worship the same way. I say something along the lines, if we've had this worship service and now this service is over, let us continue to worship you by the way that we live our lives, loving you and serving you. Something along those lines. Does that sound familiar to you? No? Yeah? Something like that, right? Worship isn't confined to this space, but we have a unique opportunity to gather, keyword, together, to worship together as a believing body together. All right, so that's, should I stop at 1? I've got 6 more. Let's do all 6. Here we go. We'll do all 7. We'll do the rest of them. Here we go. Reasons why we should prioritize showing up at worship. It's an opportunity to worship God. It is an opportunity to receive from God. It's an opportunity to receive from God. It is very rare that I will go through a worship experience without writing something down. Oh, I think that's from God. Oh, that's a good point, right? You know, when you hear, whether, you know, maybe it's in the song or maybe it's in the sermon. I give the sermon most weeks, but not every week. But somebody says something or triggers something. Sometimes it's not even in the formal worship service. Sometimes it's before or after. But something, wow, maybe that's from God. I just received something from God. I'm going to write it down. Wow, fantastic. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like if you just made this one adjustment? Listen, you've already showed up. That's at least half the battle. Fantastic. But what if you came in here expecting to receive something from God? Because maybe, just maybe, he has something for you. A word of encouragement. A word of correction. Oh, we don't like that. Maybe it's not something you want, but it's something you need from God. Sunday morning, it's not everything, but it's something. It's an opportunity to worship God. It's an opportunity to receive from God. It's an opportunity to be reoriented by God. To be reoriented. Anybody do like Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts? Did you have to do the thing where you're out in the woods with a compass? I was not a Boy Scout, so I'm kind of just going off what I've seen in movies or whatnot, right? You get lost, and you look at your compass, and you find some markers. Okay, now I know where we are. Now I know which direction we're supposed to go, right? Like back in the old days, you'd be out on your boat or your ship, and you see the North Star, and you're like, okay, boy, great, now I'm not lost anymore. I know what direction I should go in, yes? Well, this is an opportunity to be reoriented. Because guess what? It's so easy for us as Christians, those of us who are Christians, it's so easy for us to lose sight of what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to prioritize. It's so easy for us to lose sight of what we're called to be about. We have been called to make disciples, to love one another, to share Jesus and the truth of the gospel with one another in tangible ways, to take care of one another. And we can get so distracted from that mission that we've been given. We can lose sight of what we're supposed to be and who we are supposed to be. And Sunday morning is an opportunity for the large group to gather together, to be reoriented. Oh, this is the direction. I mean, is it just me? Am I the only one that gets lost sometimes? What am I supposed to be about? Even within Christian culture, you can feel a little disoriented, right? Wait, what am I supposed to be about? I got to read the Bible, then I got to say prayers, then I got to give my money. Where's the priority? Whoa, to come back into this space, to be reoriented on the priority, make disciples. It's not everything, but it's something. It's an opportunity to worship God, to receive from God, to be reoriented. It is an opportunity, number four if you're counting, it's an opportunity to be healed. Healed. Now, you might be thinking, well, you're not talking about like a literal healing, are you? Not like a physical healing. Well, yeah, sure, why not? Why is that off the table? Why is that off the table? I mean, don't we believe that God can do anything? Do we believe that, or do we just say that, Christians? Like, God is capable of all things. And so, yes, I've heard lots of stories, but I know one guy in particular who did experience a healing in a worship service, was losing his vision of one eye, was in a worship service, was praying and singing, and boom, came back, okay? There's lots of stories like that out there. But beyond just the physical healing, this is an opportunity. Some of you know exactly where I'm going with this. To receive that spiritual healing or that emotional healing. You know what I'm talking about? You had that experience last week at work, and those people were so nasty to you, and they were not fair, and they did their thing, and it hurt your feelings. And you come into this space feeling like, why did that happen? Why me? What's going on? And you sit here, and you receive something from God, and all of a sudden, whoa, that doesn't hurt as much as it used to. That doesn't feel as important as it did before I walked into this space. The emotional and spiritual healing that does happen during this time. What an incredible benefit to walk out of this space with a new sense of priority, a new sense of clarity, and less anger, less frustrated, have that melt away during this time. It's valuable. Number five, reasons why we should prioritize showing up at worship. Number five, it is an opportunity to grow in our relationship with God. To grow in our relationship with God. Yes, there's a learning component to all this. Yes, we learn stuff from the Bible. We learn stuff about God. That's fantastic. But when it comes to God, we're not just learning about God. We're actually building a relationship with God. Now, you can build a relationship with God outside of this space. You can build a relationship with God with just you and the Bible. Absolutely. You can work on building your relationship with God with just you and prayer time. Absolutely. But together, we have this opportunity to build our, not just your, but our relationship with God together. You need to be present with God to build a relationship with God. Come on. Do you need to write that down? You probably don't. It just makes sense. You need to be present with God to build a relationship with God. That doesn't just happen here. This isn't everything, but it's something, right? Think about all the relationships in your life. You need to spend time. You need to be present with that person, right? Before you built that relationship. And so this is an opportunity to grow in relationship with God. It's also, number six, an opportunity to build community with one another. We're building community with one another. There was a study done a while back about this phenomenon of people that sing together. All of a sudden, they feel this bond, right? We've all been singing together, and you go to that concert, and you're all fans of the same band. You all know all the words to the song. It's like, yeah, we're in this together, and we were strangers, but we made eye contact, and we know the same song, and we were singing out. Yeah, how about that, right? Or if you've ever been in like a play or a musical and you're all singing together, the sense of camaraderie you get from that, yes? Well, we have that opportunity to build a sense of community with one another in this worship setting, not just during the formal hour, before and after as well, to get to know one another, pouring into that sense of community. Number seven, last one for today. By the way, this is not an exhaustive list, just hitting a few things here. Seven. Last one on today's list. This is an opportunity. You get 52 of them a year. This is an opportunity to introduce Jesus to your lost loved ones. How about that? You 52 times a year when you can bring somebody in your life who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, not yet, someone who might be open, someone who might be seeking answers, to invite them to this space. Sunday morning worship service is not everything, but it's something. It's an opportunity for you to invite the people who don't know Jesus yet to come into this space and get to know him, get to meet him. And you only get the opportunity to do this 52 times a year. I worked for a couple churches before Hope, before Planting Hope, and had similar conversations in those previous churches about what can we do to share Jesus with our community. I mean, this is what we're supposed to do. We need to introduce Jesus. We need to introduce people to Jesus that don't know him yet. We need to give people the opportunity to hear and receive the gospel. So we have to have some events. We have to do some events. That was always the conversation, was about events. What can we do as a church to introduce people to Jesus? How can we bring people together and introduce them to Jesus? And I have the same idea. I had it at my previous two churches and I have now. The same idea of what kind of events we should have to introduce people to Jesus. Because I agree. We do need to have events. We do need to create these opportunities where people can get to know Jesus. And so I've got a crazy idea for an event that we should have as a church. You guys want to hear it? Three of you want to hear it? That's enough. Here we go. Crazy idea for what we should do. I think we should create a time where you, the members of this church, the people of this church, can partner with the collective. Okay? I think we should have an opportunity for you to bring the people in your life who don't know Jesus to come to something where they can hear like a talk or like a sermon, something like that, a message about Jesus, right? And also, I think beyond that talk, we should probably have like a musical component too, like some time where we can kind of sing about Jesus and like sing our beliefs about Jesus. And we should probably have scripture read, and we should probably have prayers too, just to give people an idea of like the Christian experience. We should have an event like that, right? Don't you think? I mean, I know it's not practical to put on something like that. I mean, somebody's got to prepare a talk, and somebody's got to read the scripture, and like a band has to prepare a song, and there's like the tech stuff, and then we need a venue. Like, I know it's not practical, but I think we should have an event like that, don't you? I think we should do it like, I don't know, what do you think? Once a quarter? Once a month? Nah, man, let's do it every single week. I know it's impractical. I mean, the amount of volunteers and the amount of money and the amount of energy that would all take is crazy, but let's do it anyway. Who's with me? One, two, three, four, five. More than three. Okay, let's do it. You see where I'm going with this, right? Among all the other things that a worship service is, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. I know it. I felt it, that burden of like, man, this evangelism thing and sharing the gospel, how am I supposed to do this on my own? Well, you're not. You're not meant to do that on your own. You have a collective working with you. You've got 52 opportunities a year. I'm not saying you need to be at all 52. I was out last week. I'm not saying you need to be here all 52 Sundays, right? It's not about that. It's time for us to make priority a worship. There's these things that we accomplish during the worship service. Now, I have to hit this quickly. You know, we have the virtual thing. We have the online worship services, and that was kind of born out of necessity, born out of the pandemic. And some of you have asked me about, like, what's the future for that whole online thing? You know, we're going to pull the plug on that at some point. You know, aren't people going to use that as an excuse not to show up for worship? And statistically speaking, the answer to that question is yes, that's going to happen. People find all kinds of excuses not to show up places, and they may use the online service as an excuse not to show up here. I understand that, right? And some people have good intentions, right? Like Saturday afternoon, they're planning it. I'm going to be there Sunday morning. And then Saturday night rolls around. It's like, well, I'm out a little bit later than I thought. And then I'm sleeping in Sunday morning. It's like, you know what? I'll just watch online. That's going to happen. Maybe it's happened to you, right? And that's okay. I get it. I understand that, right? Or you do that thing. We've got your kids, and they're acting up in the morning. You're like, you know what? I'm not doing this. We're not leaving the house. Put it on online, right? Let's watch it on my phone. Watch it on TV, yes? Or you wake up, and you don't have anything to wear, and your hair's not right. You're like, I'm just doing this remotely. I get that, yes. So people will use that as an excuse, statistically speaking, but we're not going to pull the plug on the online thing for the sake of the people that actually need it, right? Because there are people who have health issues and physically aren't able to be here, or certain immune deficiencies. And it's like, we're not going to take that opportunity away from them. Regardless, the fact remains, and everybody who's done the remote worship thing, you know this, it's not the same as being here together in person. I want to take a look at this list of seven things that I gave and just kind of see like how these work in the remote setting, right? So number one,
This is an opportunity to worship God. Does that work remotely? I would say, no. That's my answer. Yeah, kind of. Can you worship God remotely? Sure. But it's just a matter of degrees, right? It's like last Sunday when I wasn't here in person, I worshiped virtually. I watched online. And I'll tell you right now, I didn't stand up and sing by myself in my living room. I mean, that's not what I did, okay? Right? And so can you worship remotely? Yes, it's just a matter of degrees. But to be fair, you can show up here and just be like, I'm not singing today. I'm not doing any of this stuff. You know, so it's just a matter of degrees, all right? Number two, it's an opportunity to receive from God. Can you receive something from God remotely? I'd say yes. Yes. Maybe there's some limits because it's not like you don't get the pre-church stuff and like the post-church stuff. It's just during that time. But yes. Yes. Again, it's just a matter of degrees. If you're worshiping virtually, can you have that opportunity to be reoriented by God? I'm going to say yes to that. Yeah, sure. If you're really invested. Again, all these things, you get out of something what you put into it. Isn't that true? You're going to get out of it what you put into it. If you're dialed in and paying attention, yeah, you can receive something from God virtually. You can be reoriented virtually. You can even experience some kind of healing just by watching online or connecting virtually. Sure, all these things can happen in degrees. An opportunity to grow in a relationship with God. Yes, that can happen through a screen. Again, in degrees. That's all we're talking about here. But then I get to number six here, that showing up in person is an opportunity to build community. And unfortunately, that's not something that can happen through the screen. And all of us who have done the screen thing, we know that. It's not an opportunity to build community with one another. It's not. We have to be, what's our keyword for today? Together. We have to be together in order to build community. And that's just, there's nothing I can do about that. It's just the nature of relationships and how that works. We have to be present with one another to build community with one another. You know, last week, tuning in online was strange because I don't often do that because, hey, I'm normally here, right? So I'm tuning in online, and it's like there's nothing happening before worship. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not shaking hands. I'm not making jokes. I'm not being teased. You know what I mean? Like all those little things that in a playful, fun way. None of those things are happening, right? And then I watch the whole virtual thing, and it's the closing song, closing prayer, and then, and then I turn it off because it's over. Have you experienced that if you watched online? It's like, okay, well, there's no hands to shake. There's no people to talk to. You know, there's none of that, right? And so we can't build community through a screen, unfortunately. Number seven that I listed was this is an opportunity to invite someone to worship with you, right? It's an opportunity to introduce somebody to Jesus, and no. You can't ask somebody to show up if you're not present, right? And so, well, I'm not going to go to worship, but you should. That people have tried in the past, by the way, and it doesn't work out. And so if you're doing the virtual thing, you lose out on that opportunity to introduce someone to Jesus in the setting of your local church. And so 5 out of 7, that's not bad, but it's not the full experience if we're doing the virtual thing. So I believe, and I hope you agree, I believe that it's time for us as a church to prioritize, or maybe in some cases, reprioritize our showing up. I think it's time. It's time to prioritize showing up. You know, this isn't our first year of being a church, right? And I'm less naive now than I was 10 years ago. And so I know how these things work, right? I stand up here and I give a sermon and I give these challenges and people are like, yeah, okay, whatever, buddy, that's fine, right? But if you really want to be serious about the showing up thing, and that's a big if, but if you really want to be serious about the showing up thing, why not take a look at your calendar? Say, okay, I got 52 of these opportunities. 52 of them. How many am I willing to give up? 52 opportunities to worship God, to receive from God, to be reoriented, to be healed, to build community, to grow in my understanding of God, to grow in my relationship with God, to invite other people with me. 52 a year. Not how many will you attend, but how many are you willing to sacrifice? You only get 52 of these a year. The worship service. It's not everything, but it's something. It's something. It's never been easier not to show up. But I believe this is also true. It's never been more important to show up. Now more than ever, we need to pour into this sense of community. We need to be together. Friends, have you noticed? Have you noticed that as people withdraw, they become
uglier. You know what I mean? When we isolate, we get angry, we get easily offended, we get paranoid, we get jealous, it's not good to be disconnected. I know it's never been easier to not show up, but it's never been more important to show up. We have to pour into the sense of community with one another. Now more than ever, we need these weekly opportunities to worship God, to receive from God, to be reoriented, to be healed, to grow in our relationship with God, to build community with one another, and to invite other people to get to know Jesus. Now more than ever, as we see the day approaching, we need to prioritize showing up. Because we, as a church, we are meant to be the church together. Let's pray on that. Jesus, you know. You know the struggles that we're each having. You know the battles that we're facing. And Father God, I thank you for our forefathers in the faith. I thank you for that first generation of believers, for that first century of believers. And I thank you for the pattern that they have given us, the wisdom that was shared, that we need these times to be together. I thank you for the book of Hebrews, for that reminder that we need to be together. But Jesus, you know how impractical that is. There's so many demands on our time. There are so many opportunities. There are so many distractions. So Father God, I pray that you would allow us to prioritize these times where we can be together as your church. Father God, allow us to experience the benefits of showing up together. Give us those times to build community. Give us those times to be healed and reoriented by you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.